بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وخير الأمور عوازمها، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. وبالسند المتصل منا إلى عبد الله بن عمرو بن العاص رضي الله تعالى عنه قال: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: الراحمون يرحمهم الرحمن تبارك وتعالى، ارحموا من في الأرض يرحمكم من في السماء. وبالسند المتصل منا إلى أمير المؤمنين في الحديث أبي عبد الله محمد بن إسماعيل البخاري رحمه الله تعالى قال: باب قول الله: ونضأ الموازين القسط ليوم القيامة، وأن أعمال بني آدم وقولهم يوزن. وقال مجاهد: القسطاس العدل بالرومية، ويقال القسط مصدر المقسط وهو العادل، وأما القاسط فهو الجائر. This is the final bab, final chapter of the Sahih of Amirul Mu'mineen fi al-Hadith Imam Bukhari rahimahullahu ta'ala. Regarding this book, Sahihul Bukhari, the muhaddithin and the ulama are unanimous that after the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after Kitabullah, this book, Sahihul Bukhari, is the most authentic book. Asahul Kutubi Ba'da Kitabillah. After the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after the Quran, the most authentic book is the Sahihul Bukhari. According to Allama Nawawi rahimahullahu ta'ala, the full name of this book is Al-Jami' Al-Musnad Al-Sahih Al-Mukhtasar Min Umuri Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallama wa sunanihi wa ayyamihi. This is the name that Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala gave to this book of his, Sahih al-Bukhari. Al-Jami, al-Musnad, al-Sahih, al-Mukhtasar, min umuri Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam wa sunanihi wa ayyamihi. Allama Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala has quoted this name in his Sharah of Bukhari Sharif and also in his book Tahdhibul Asma'i wal Lughat. Hafidud Dunya Hafid ibn Hajar al Asqalani rahimahullah ta'ala, the most well known commentator of Bukhari Sharif, the author of Fathul Bari, in the Muqaddimah of Fathul Bari, he states that the name of Sahih al-Bukhari is Al-Jami, Al-Musnad, Al-Sahih, Al-Mukhtasar min Hadith Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa sunanihi wa ayyamihi. So there is a difference of one word only. Allama an-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala states min umuri Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Hafiz rahimahullah ta'ala states min Hadith Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the end result is the same. Asahul kutubi ba'da kitabillah. This is the most authentic book after Kitabullah. And its name is Al-Jami, Al-Musnad, As-Sahih. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala also claims that every hadith in Bukhari Sharif is Sahih. So the approximately 7,000 ahadith found in Bukhari Sharif are all sahih. But that does not mean anything outside Bukhari is not sahih. Sahihul Bukhari means that everything in Bukhari is sahih. But it does not mean anything outside Bukhari is not sahih. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala had memorized 600,000 ahadith. According to Allama Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala, Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala went to 1,080 mashayikh of ahadith. He benefited from 1,080 mashayikh of ahadith. And from these 1,080 mashayikh of ahadith, he acquired 600,000 ahadith. From these 600,000 ahadith, Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala himself claimed that 100,000 ahadith are sahih. This book contains approximately 7,000 ahadith. So he himself has left out 93,000 sahih ahadith. So from the treasures of Sahih Ahadith, what he has left out is more than what he has taken in Sahih al-Bukhari. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala himself says, وَمَا تَرَكْتُ مِنَ السِّحَاهِ أَكْثَرُ مَا كَتَبْتُ فِي هَذَا الْكِتَابِ إِلَّا صَحِيحًا. Whatever I have written in this book is nothing but sahih. So I have only noted down sahih hadith in this book. وما تركت من الصحاح أكثر. But the sahih ahadith that I have left out and more than the number of ahadith that are contained within this kitab. Why? Kaila yatul al kitab. Because I feared that if the kitab becomes voluminous, then people will not be able to benefit from it because of their laziness. So in order to keep the book concise as possible, I have only taken 7,000 ahadith approximately. So the first very important point that we understand and we have to keep in our minds, each and every one of us, ulama and non-ulama, is that every hadith in Bukhari Sharif is sahih. But that does not mean that anything outside Bukhari Sharif is not sahih. There are so many ahadith outside Bukhari which are sahih also. There are so many ahadith which are sahih in Muslim. Some which are found in Bukhari Sharif. Same ahadith in Muslims, same in Bukhari. But there are so many ahadith in Muslim Sharif which are not found in Bukhari Sharif but which are sahih. There are so many ahadith in Abu Dawud Sharif, in Nasai Sharif, in Tirmidhi Sharif, in Ibn Majah Sharif, which are sahih and which are not in Bukhari Sharif. So the first thing we need to remember is that if a person deduces a mas'ala and he establishes the authenticity of that mas'ala through a hadith from Bukhari Sharif, and you have another person who deduces another mas'ala and he establishes that mas'ala through a hadith from Muslim Sharif or Abu Dawud Sharif or Tirmidhi Sharif or Ibn Majah Sharif or any other kitab other than the six most authentic books, it does not mean that the person who is deducing his mas'ala whilst establishing that mas'ala with a hadith from Bukhari Sharif is establishing his mas'ala through a sahih hadith and the other person is establishing his mas'ala through a weak hadith. No, it is not necessary. That is point number one. Point number two. Asahul kutubi ba'da kitabillah. The most authentic book after the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Bukhari Sharif. That means, as a whole, when you take Bukhari Sharif as a whole, all approximately 7,000 ahadith, when you take them as a whole and compare the whole kitab with the whole of Muslim, then this is the most authentic book after the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you take Bukhari Sharif as a whole and Ibn Majah Sharif as a whole, this is the most authentic. If you take Muslim Sharif as a whole, Bukhari Sharif as a whole, this is the most authentic. If you take Ibn Majah Sharif as a whole, Bukhari Sharif as a whole, this is the most authentic. If you take Abu Dawud Sharif as a whole, Bukhari Sharif as a whole, this is the most authentic. But there is a possibility that if you take hadith by hadith, take for example one hadith from Bukhari Sharif and study the chain of this hadith, and you take a hadith from Muslim Sharif and study the chain of that hadith, then there is a great possibility that when you compare one hadith with one hadith, this hadith of Muslim Sharif may be more authentic than this hadith which is in Bukhari Sharif. So much so that from amongst the six most authentic books of ahadith, the book on number 6 is Ibn Majah Sharif. Ibn Majah is regarded as the weakest from the 6 books of ahadith. There are many ahadith in Ibn Majah Sharif when taken hadith by hadith and compared with ahadith from Bukhari Sharif, then there are many ahadith in Ibn Majah Sharif which are more authentic than the ahadith of Bukhari Sharif. So it's not necessary that if a person says that we are doing this because of this hadith in Bukhari, and if another person says we are doing this because of this hadith in Ibn Abi Shayba or Ibn Majah, just by looking at one hadith of Bukhari and one hadith of Ibn Abi Shayba, you cannot conclude that they have a more stronger argument because their hadith is from Bukhari Sharif. Because if you take hadith by hadith, then there is a great possibility that the hadith of Ibn Abi Shayba is more authentic than the hadith of Bukhari. The hadith of Ibn Majah is more stronger than the hadith of Bukhari Sharif. See, because of this slogan, Asahul Kutubi Ba'da Kitabillah, whenever a person is presented with a hadith of Bukhari Sharif, then the person gives up. Then we have lost this argument because this is from Bukhari Sharif. So Alhamdulillah, we are very fortunate, this institute is also fortunate, that the Shaykhul Hadith of this institute and the students of this institute are completing this great book, Asahul Kutubi Ba'da Kitabillah. The author is Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, regarding whom his own ustad and teacher Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah ta'ala, who was a great faqih and also a great muhaddith. So the teacher is saying regarding his student, Ma akharajat Khurasan mithla Muhammad ibn Ismail. Khurasan has not given birth to anybody like Muhammad ibn Ismail al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala. In the field of hadith, Khurasan has not produced anybody like Muhammad ibn Ismail al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala. Muhammad ibn Ishaq ibn Khuzayma rahimahullah ta'ala, a great muhaddith, he says, Ma tahta adim as-sama a'lamu bil hadith min Muhammad ibn Ismail. That under the shade of the heavens, there is no one who has more knowledge in regard to the science of hadith than Muhammad ibn Ismail al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala. Imam Raja rahimahullah ta'ala used to say, Huwa ayatum min ayatillah. He is a sign from the signs of Allah. Yamshi ala dhahril ard, walking on the surface of this earth. Imam Muslim rahimahullah ta'ala, he once said, Ashhadu annahu laysa fi dunya misluk. I bear witness that in the science of hadith there is no one like you. And once Imam Muslim rahimahullah ta'ala came into the company of Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, and he said, Da'ani, he kissed his forehead, and thereafter he said, Da'ani uqabbilu rijlaik, ya ustad al-ustadeen, wa ya sayyid al-muhaddithin. Give me permission to kiss your feet, because you are the ustad of the ustads, and you are the sayyid and the leader of the muhaddithin. Because of this high status that Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala enjoyed in ilm and amal. Ilm and amal. In ilm he was expert, in amal he was also expert. He himself used to say that I am confident that on the day of Qiyamah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not question me regarding ghiba. Because in my life I have never backbited anybody. Because of this ilm and amal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted him and his work, his book, acceptance throughout the world. Despite being a non-Arab, despite being an Ajami, even the Arab world bows down before this Sahih al-Bukhari of Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala. Arab, Ajam, both accept Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala as a great authority in the field of hadith. So this is the last chapter of this book, باب قول الله ونضع الموازين القسط ليوم القيامة وأن أعمال بني آدم وقولهم يوزن. The students have already understood through the lessons during the year that Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala in every chapter establishes a particular mas'ala. This is the last chapter of Bukhari Sharif and last chapter of the last kitab of Bukhari Sharif, Kitab al-Radd ala al-Jahmiyyah wa ghayrihim. So Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala in this last book of Bukhari Sharif is refuting the false notions and the false aqaid and the false beliefs held and propagated by the group and the sect known as Jahmiyya. Kitab al-Radd ala al-Jahmiyya, refuting the aqaid of the sect known as Jahmiyya, waghairihim, and refuting the aqaid of sects other than Jahmiyya. This is the final bab of this kitab, final chapter of this kitab. And in trying to establish a particular aqidah of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala has chosen a verse from the Quran. وَنَذَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْتَ لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we will set up mawazin. Mawazin is the plural of mizan. And mizan is scale. وَنَذَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ, we will set up scales. لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ, we will set up mawazin. الْقِسْتَ, for justice. لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ, on the day of Qiyamah. Allah says in the Quran, we will set up mawazin. Now, the first question that will arise here is, that why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala use the plural word mawazin? There will be only one scale. So we will set up a scale. Why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say we will set up scales? وَنَذَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ. The Mufassireen and the commentators of the Quran have answered this question through various ways, the best being that the mizan on the day of Qiyamah will be an exceptional mizan. So tafkheeman lishanihi and ta'zeeman lishanihi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the plural. It is like saying, inna Ibrahim kana ummah. Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam was ummah. Now how can one individual be ummah? So tafkheeman lishanihi, that means he was an exceptional personality. The qualities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted him, if these qualities were scattered, then you would see an ummah before you. So this mizan will be an exceptional mizan. It will be very, very huge. So in order to show its hugeness, its greatness, and its vastness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used the plural of mizan. Allama Abul Hasan Al-Lalkai rahimahullahu ta'ala reports from Salman Farsi radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, yudha'ul mizan, the mizan will be set up on the day of Qiyamah for reckoning. وَلَهُ كِفَّتَان, and it will have two trays. A scale has two trays. وَلَهُ كِفَّتَان, And the size of just one tray will be so huge that he further says, لَوُضِيَتْ فِي إِهْدَاهُمَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ وَمَنْ فِيهِنَّ لَوَسِعَتْهُ. That if in only one tray, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was to place the seven heavens and the seven earths and whatever they contained, then that one scale will have so much room that it will be able to take everything in. So if this is the size of one tray, then put two trays together and then put the whole mizan. So because that mizan will be a unique mizan, exceptional mizan, its vastness great, it will be very huge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used the plural, وَنَذَأُ الْمِيزَانِ وَنَذَأُ الْمَوَازِينِ. We will set up the great mizan, the huge mizan, the exceptional mizan, the unique mizan. Al-qista, al-qista ay lil-qisti, for justice. Through this mizan, we will carry out justice on the day of Qiyamah. Liyawm al-qiyamati ay fi yawm al-qiyamati, on the day of Qiyamah. وَأَنَّ أَعْمَالَ بَنِي آدَمَ وَقَوْلَهُمْ يُوزَن. This is what Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala wishes to establish through this verse of the Quran. That the A'mal of Banu Adam and the words of Banu Adam will be weighed on the day of Qiyamah. وَأَنَّ أَعْمَالَ بَنِي آدَمَ وَقَوْلَهُمْ يُوزَن. The A'mal of Banu Adam and the Aqwal of Banu Adam. The A'mal of Banu Adam, their deeds, وَقَوْلَهُمْ and their words will be weighed on the day of Qiyamah. وَكُلَّ إِنسَانٍ أَلْزَمْنَاهُ طَائِرَهُ فِي عُنُقِهِ وَنُخْرِجُ لَهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ كِتَابًا يَلْقَاهُ مَنْشُورًا. اِقْرَى كِتَابَكَ. Iqra, whatever we do, whatever we say, my friends, my sisters, whatever we do, whatever we say, each and every item is being noted in our book of deeds. وَكُلُّ صَغِيرٍ وَكَبِيرٍ مُسْتَتَرٍ. Every significant, every insignificant item is being noted in our book of deeds. مَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. Whatever we utter, it is noted down immediately by the angels who are ready to write whatever we utter, whatever we do. وَإِنَّ عَلَيْكُمْ لَحَافِذِينَ كِرَامًا كَاتِبِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ مَا تَفْعَلُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the kiraman katibin as supervisors, as monitors upon us. They are watching us all the time. And they are fully aware of what we are doing. And they note down each and everything that we are doing. Iqra kitabak, when on the day of Qiyamah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, Iqra kitabak, read your own biography. Read your own biography. Iqra kitabak, read your book of deeds. Kafa binafsika al-yawma alayka hasiba. Today, there is no need for anyone else to reckon you. You are enough to reckon yourself. Because as you flip through your book of deed, you will exactly know that whatever is written in this book of deed is factual, and it has recorded each and every item of my life. When the book of deeds will be opened, the person after flipping through his book of deed will say, مَا لِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ لَا يُغَادِرُ صَغِيرَةً وَلَا كَبِيرَةً إِلَّا أَحْصَاهَا. This book of deed has recorded each and every item, sagira and kabira, significant, insignificant, major and minor. So much so that at that moment, the person will wish that there was a long distance between himself and the day of reckoning. يَوْمَ تَجِدُ كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَا عَمِلَتْ مِنْ خَيْرٍ مُحْضَرًا وَمَا عَمِلَتْ مِنْ سُوءٍ. The day when a person will find all his good deeds and all his bad deeds present in his book of deeds. تَوَدَّ لَوْ أَنَّ بَيْنَهَا وَبَيْنَهُ أَمَدًا بَعِيدًا. At that moment he will wish that there was a long distance between him and the day of reckoning. This is the aqeedah of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, that our amal and our aqwal, whatever we do and whatever we say, is being recorded in our book of deeds, and these amal and these aqwal will be measured, will be weighed on the day of Qiyamah. And according to the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, this is a factual statement, not metaphorical statement. Mu'tazila, a group that does not exist today with this name Mu'tazila, but it exists till today with this ideology. What is this ideology? What is this ideology that the Mu'tazila followed? The ideology that the Mu'tazila followed was that anything that we find in the Quran and Hadith that the human intellect cannot comprehend, that should be put down as metaphorical. And it is not possible. The human intellect cannot comprehend, so how is it possible? And if it is not possible, then we have to give some kind of other metaphorical interpretation of this verse or of this Hadith. Now, as far as our amal are concerned and our aqwal are concerned, they are not jauhar, they are ard. What is jauhar? Jauhar is something that the five senses can put their hands to. Jauhar is something that can be smelled. Jauhar is something that can be tasted. Jauhar is something that can be seen. Jauhar is something that can be heard. And jauhar is something that can be felt. So this glass is jauhar, the water is jauhar. The perfume that is smelling, we may not be able to see it, but we can smell it, so that is jauhar. Anything that does not come within the grasp of the five senses, that is ard. Oxygen is ard. Because oxygen cannot be smelled, oxygen cannot be heard, oxygen cannot be seen, oxygen cannot be tasted, and oxygen cannot be felt. So our amal are not jauhar, our amal are ard. And ard is not something that can be seen or that can be heard or that could be tasted or that could be smelled or that could be touched by our hands or felt. So that means this is something that cannot come in the grasp of the five senses. If it cannot come in the grasp of the five senses, how will you be able to measure it and weigh it on the day of Qiyamah? Allahu Akbar, Takbir Tahrima, folding the hands, and Qiyam. The Qiyam is there. But once you go in Ruku, where is the Qiyam? From Ruku, once you say Sami Allahu Liman Hamida, where is the Ruku? After Qawma, when you go into Sajda, where is the Qawma? After Sajda, when you go into Jalsa, where is the Jalsa? When a person is reciting the Quran, the Tilawah is there, but as soon as he finishes the Tilawah, where is the Tilawah? Where is Dhikr and Tasbih? When a person is reciting La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, it is there, but as soon as he completes his Dhikr, the Dhikr is not there. If it is something that cannot come in your grasp, how can you put it in mizan? How can you weigh it? How can you put it in the scale? The human intellect could not comprehend this. So because the human intellect could not comprehend this, they gave a metaphorical explanation of these verses. They gave metaphorical explanation of the ahadith wherein the mizan is mentioned. And they said, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we will set up the mizan on the day of Qiyamah, Allah is saying, we will treat each and every servant of ours with justice. There will be no mizan. There will be no scale, no trace. Amal or the book of deeds or the persons will not be placed in the trays. No. It's not factual. There will be no mizan. Each person will be brought in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with his knowledge, will reckon him and decide, and decide justly. La tuzlamu nafsun shay'a. The opinion of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, right from the time of the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in till today, has been that these verses regarding the mizan and the ahadith regarding the mizan are not metaphorical, they are factual. Factual mizan will be there. It will have two trays. According to some narrations, Amal will be weighed. According to some narrations, Book of Deeds will be weighed. According to some narrations, the person himself will be weighed. Abdullah ibn Masud radiyallahu anhu, he had skinny legs, and one day he was climbing a tree, and the Sahaba ikram ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majmain were watching him. Their gaze fell on his skinny legs and they started laughing in a joking manner, because they were friends, they were not making fun of him, just they started smiling and laughing. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَرِجْلُ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ ابْنِ مَسْعُودٍ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فِي الْمِيزَانِ أَسْقَلُ مِنْ جَبَلِ أُهُدٍ. He said, just one leg of Abdullah ibn Masud radiyallahu anhu on the day of Qiyamah in the mizan will be more heavier than Jabal Uhud, than the Mount Uhud. So that the person will be put in the mizan. Abdullah ibn Masud radiyallahu anhu will be in mizan, Abu Bakr will be in mizan, I will be in mizan, Tari Sahib will be in mizan, Maulana will be in mizan. And according to the good and according to the bad that a person has performed, the mizan will show the result. My Shaykh in Bukhari Sharif, Hazrat Maulana Islamul Haq Sahib Rahimahullahu Ta'ala, used to say that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will choose between three. For some He will weigh the Book of Deeds. For some He will weigh the Book of Deeds. And the result will come out according to what is written in the Book of Deeds, good or bad. And for some He will weigh the person himself in order to show his greatness and his virtue in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like Ibn Masud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And for some, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will weigh the a'mal. This is the aqidah of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. This is the ideology of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, that a'mal will also be weighed. And in majority of the cases, a'mal will also be weighed. Now if a'mal is arz, how will a'mal come in the grasp of the malaika? This question should be posed by somebody who does not believe in the qudra of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those people who believe in the qudra of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their belief should be that despite arz not coming in the grasp of anybody, if Allah says that I will set up mizan and I will weigh and measure amal, He will definitely do, because He is able to do anything. But in this day and age, my friends, this question remains no more, because the science has made progress and there are so many a'rad, so many arz which are being weighed. For example, heat and cold, that is also arz. You cannot smell cold or heat. You cannot hear it, you cannot see it, you cannot taste it, you cannot touch it. But we can very easily say it is 18 degrees, it is 20 degrees, it is 50 degrees, it is minus 4 degrees. So in this day and age, this question does not remain. But in the time of Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, this question was there. That they only believed what their intellect could comprehend. And as I said, that the sect of Mu'tazila does not remain in this world today, but this ideology remains. There are so many people who say that we will only accept that interpretation of the Quran or Hadith which our faculty of intellect can comprehend. What we need to understand, my friends, is that a person is able to acquire ilm through three sources. there are three sources for ilm. Source number one, the five senses. The five senses. By seeing something, a person will acquire ilm. By seeing something, this is black, this is white, this is ilm. This person is handsome or ugly, this is ilm. This person is old or young, this is ilm, by observing, by seeing. By hearing, a person will acquire ilm, like in lectures we do, in lessons we do. By tasting, a person acquires ilm. Is this bitter? Is this sweet? By smelling, a person will acquire ilm. Is this good? Is this bad? And by touching, a person will acquire ilm. Is this soft? Is this hard? So through the five senses, a person acquires ilm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاللَّهُ خَلَقَكُم مِّن بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا وَجَعْلَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَةَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions two senses out of the five senses here. وَاللَّهُ خَلَقَكُم مِّن بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you and He brought you into this world from the wombs of your mothers. لَا تَعْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا. When you came into this world, you had no knowledge whatsoever. You had knowledge of nothing whatsoever. And what did Allah give you? وَجَعَلَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted you ears and Allah granted you eyes. So from the five senses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions two senses here. Because it is through these two senses a person acquires the most ilm. So by saying Allah granted you ears, Allah granted you eyes, Allah is referring to the five senses. You had no knowledge, but Allah granted you the five senses through which you began acquiring ilm. وَجِعَلَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَةَ. And Allah granted you the heart, which is connected to the brain. So Allah granted you the faculty of intellect through which you acquire ilm. So Allah has mentioned the two sources of ilm here. The first source is the five senses, and the second source is aql. So a person is able to acquire ilm through the five senses. A person is able to acquire ilm through aql. For example, we are sitting in this tent, and through the five senses, we cannot acquire this knowledge that there is oxygen here. We cannot see oxygen, we cannot taste oxygen, we cannot smell oxygen, we cannot hear oxygen, we cannot feel oxygen. But everybody will say that yes, it is my knowledge that there is oxygen here. How do you know there is oxygen? Because my aql is telling me. Without oxygen, a human cannot survive. And everybody is alive in this room. So my intellect is telling me that there is oxygen in this room. So through the aql, a person is able to acquire that ilm which the five senses are unable to acquire. So the source of aql is more greater and more powerful than the source of the five senses. So when the five senses give up, when the five senses become unable in understanding something, that is where the power of aql starts. But just as the five senses have limitations, the aql has also limitations. And where the aql becomes unable and disabled, that is where the source of wahy begins. So just as a person who tries to understand the knowledge acquired by aql through the five senses will be seen as abnormal, similarly, the person who tries to understand the ilm acquired by wahy through the faculty of intellect will also be seen as abnormal. In this day and age also, you will find so many people throughout the world who will say, no, we don't believe in this verse. We believe in the verse, but no, the ulama are not interpreting it correctly. It does not have a factual meaning. No, why? Because our faculty of intellect cannot comprehend. We don't believe in this hadith. We believe in the hadith,
But we don't believe in the interpretation that has been passed down upon us right from the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? Because our faculty of intellect cannot comprehend. The Mu'tazila also rejected so many things that were passed down by the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah because their faculty of intellect could not comprehend it, could not understand. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala in Bukhari Sharif has refuted so many ideologies of such sects. Here also he is refuting one ideology. That on the day of Qiyamah there will be no mizan. Mu'tazila says, on the day of Qiyamah there will be no mizan. On the day of Qiyamah the amal will not be weighed. وَالْوَزْنُ يَوْمَئِذٍ الْحَقِّ وَزْنَ On the day of Qiyamah is nothing but truth. It will take place. It is a fact, it will take place, the Quran says. They say, no, it's not wazn, it's adl. Adl will take place, justice will take place, not wazn. We say justice will take place through wazn. In order to prove to the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that whatever I am doing is nothing but justice, Allah will set up the mizan. Wal waznu yawm idhin al-haq. Wa nadha'u al-mawazin al-qist. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala establishes the view of the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Here there is a question for the students. A question will arise that Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala is saying Kitabur Raddi alal Jahmiya. This kitab is to refute the ideologies of Jahmiya, the sect Jahmiya. And here in the last bab and last chapter he is refuting the ideology of Mu'tazila. He should be refuting the ideologies of Jahmiyyah. And here he is refuting the ideology of Mu'tazila. Hafidh ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahimahullah ta'ala says that Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi's last and final book is Kitabur Raddi alal Jahmiyyati wa ghayrihim. Refuting the ideologies of Jahmiyyah and false sects other than Jahmiyyah. So other than Jahmiyyah means sects like Mu'tazila. And Allama Zahid Al-Kawthari rahimahullah ta'ala says that Mu'tazila is also divided into many sects. Jahmiyyah is also divided into many sects. And Allama Zahid Al-Kawthari rahimahullah ta'ala has made a research and he said that there is a sect of Jahmiyyah which also believes just like the belief of the Mu'tazila. So Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, he is refuting not only the Mu'tazila but also that sect of Jahmiyyah which holds the same ideology as the ideology of Mu'tazila. Now, what is the connection between this last bab and the first bab? Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala begins the first bab with Babun kayfa kana bad'ul wahyi ila Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala is giving a very very important message to all of us. That message is that wahy that I have revealed to my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the only source for success in this world and the hereafter until the day of Qiyamah. Anybody who understands correctly the wahy I have sent to my final messenger and who follows this wahy, he will become successful in this world and also in the hereafter. And the person who does not follow this wahy, he will become unsuccessful in this world and also in the hereafter. Now the person who follows this wahy, he has to do two things. One is, he has to understand this wahy correctly, as explained by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when following the wahy, one has to have the quality of ittiba'i sunnah. And number two, when following the wahy, a person has to have the quality of ikhlas. So after kayfa kana badul wahy ila Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the very first hadith Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala mentions, on the authority of Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu anhu is innama al-amalu bin-niyyat wa innama limri'in ma nawa faman kanat hijratuhu ila dunya yusibuha aw ila imra'atin yankihuha fa hijratuhu ila ma hajara ilayh. So when following the wahy, One has to have ikhlas. If a person is following the wahy with nifaq, it will not be acceptable in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If a person is following wahy with riya, it will not be acceptable in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With ikhlas, number two, ittiba'i sunnah. If a person is following wahy according to his own ideologies, like Mu'tazila, like Jahmiya, then his amal will not be acceptable in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala emphasizes innamal amalu bi ikhlas first, thereafter he begins kitabul iman. So if kitabul iman is with ikhlas, according to the imaniyat taught by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it will be acceptable in the court of Allah. If it is not with ikhlas, and if it is according to one's whims and desires, iman will not be accepted. Once iman is accepted, thereafter kitabul ilm, kitabul tahara, kitabul salat, and then the whole life of a person, ibadat, muamalat, muasharat, husne akhlaq. He mentions the whole life of a person through the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so that a person is able to carry out ittiba'i sunnah in his life. And now, right at the end, he brings this bab of our amal being weighed on the day of Qiyamah, and he is making this indication, and he is attracting our attention towards this very important fact, that on the day of Qiyamah, our amal will be weighed, and our amal will only become weighty if we have ikhlas, and if we have ittiba'i sunnah. Without ittiba'i sunnah, without ikhlas, the amal will not be weighty. So make preparation for the life hereafter. That is what Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala is indicating. وَأَنَّ أَعْمَالَ بَنِي آدَمَ وَقَوْلَهُمْ يُوزَنْ. The amal of Banu Adam and the aqwal of Banu Adam will be weighed. وَقَالَ مُجَاهِدَ الْقِسْتَاسُ وَالْعَدْلُ بِالْرُّمِيَّةِ. Here he discusses the lugha. وَنَذَوُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْ. So from qis, his mind went to another verse of the Quran, وَزِنُوا بِالْقِسْتَاسِ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. And it's a technical discussion which I wish to leave in this gathering. So he discusses the lugha. وَقَالَ مُجَاهِدَ الْقِسْتَاسُ وَالْأَدْلُ بِالْرُّمِيَّةِ وَيُقَالَ وَالْقِسْتُ مَسْتَرِ الْمُقْسِتِ وَهُوَ الْعَادِلِ وَأَمَّا الْقَاسِتُ فَهُوَ الْجَائِرِ. وَبِهِ قَالَ حَدَّثَنَا أَحْمَدُ بْنُ أَشْكَابِ قَالَ حَدَّثَنَا مُحَمَّدُ بْنُ فُضَيْلِ أَنْ أُمَارَةَ بْنِ الْقَعْقَاءِ أَنْ أَبِي زُرْعَةَ أَنْ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَنْهُ قَالَ قَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ كَلِمَتَانِ حَبِيبَتَانِ إِلَى الرَّحْمَنِ خَفِيفَتَانِ عَلَى اللِّسَانِ ثَقِيلَتَانِ فِي الْمِيزَانِ سبحان الله وبحمده سبحان الله العظيم. This final hadith, Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala narrates from his teacher, his sheikh, his ustad Ahmad ibn Ashkab. This hadith, سبحان الله وبحمده سبحان الله العظيم, Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala narrates in Bukhari Sharif from his three teachers, Qutaybah ibn Sa'id, Sulaiman ibn Harb, and Ahmad ibn Ashkab. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala does not narrate this particular hadith from Qutaybah ibn Sa'id or Sulaiman ibn Harb. He narrates this hadith from Ahmad ibn Ashkab. He could have placed this hadith somewhere else, in the place of the riwayah of Qutaybah ibn Sa'id, and he could have narrated this hadith here, the hadith of Qutaybah ibn Sa'id, likewise with the hadith of Sulaiman ibn Harb. But he narrates this hadith from Ahmad ibn Ashkab. Ahmad ibn Ashkab. Now Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala was a very, very intelligent personality. And there are so many unique things that a person finds in Bukhari when he studies Bukhari. The root word of Ahmad is Hamd. Ahmad is extracted from the root word Hamd. If he had narrated the hadith of Qutaybah or Sulaiman, then the root word of Hamd would not have existed. So he has brought this last hadith from his ustad Ahmad ibn Ashkab, and Ahmad, the root word of Ahmad is Hamd. The very first hadith he narrates, the very first hadith, innama al-amalu bin-niyyat, is from his sheikh, from his teacher, Humaydi. Humaydi, Quraishi Makki, Ash-Shafi'i. And the root word of Humaydi is also Hamd. And the name of Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala is Muhammad ibn Ismail. The root word of Muhammad is also Hamd. And the words and the actions that he has narrated, 7,000 words and actions of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his name was Muhammad. So the root word there is also Hamd. So he begins a hadith, the very first hadith that he begins Bukhari with, he narrates from his Ustad Humaydi, and here also he narrates from his Ustad Ahmad. The root word here is Hamd. The root word there is Hamd. He is indicating that a mu'min throughout his life, when beginning anything and when ending anything, should praise the Creator. وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ فِي الْأُولَى وَالْآخِرَةِ. Begin with the Hamd of Allah, end with the Hamd of Allah. If a person begins with the Hamd of Allah and ends with the Hamd of Allah, that means throughout also in his mind will be the Hamd of Allah. So if a person lives a life of Hamd, begins with the Hamd, continues with the Hamd, ends with the Hamd, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him abode in Darul Hamd, where after entry he will say, wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Number two, it begins with Hamd, it ends with Hamd. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala is indicating that each and every hadith that is in this Bukhari Sharif is the word of my beloved Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Therefore, each and every word is Mahmood. It is praiseworthy. Everything that is in Bukhari Sharif is nothing but Mahmood. Praiseworthy. And Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi is also indicating towards this fact that the person who studies everything contained between Humaydi and Hamd, who studies properly, understands it properly and practices, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make him Mahmood in this world, Mahmood at the time of death, Mahmood in the grave, Mahmood on the day of Qiyamah, Mahmood on the Pul Sirat, and inshallah Mahmood forever and ever in Jannah. Ahmad ibn Ashkab narrates from Muhammad ibn Fudail, who narrates from Umara ibn Qaqa, who narrates from Abu Zura'a, who narrates from Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, kalimatane habibatane ila ar-Rahman. There are two sentences. Kalimatane. Here kalimah bimana kalam. Kalimah means word. But sometimes the word kalimah is used to mean kalam. So kalimah means word, but it is used to mean sentence. Kalimatane, there are two sentences. Habibatane ila Rahman, which are beloved to Rahman ta'ala. Two sentences, beloved to Rahman ta'ala. That means, there are two sentences which are beloved to Rahman ta'ala. If a person recites these two sentences abundantly, frequently, then he will also become beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So kalimatane, two sentences, habibatane ila Rahman, beloved to Rahman ta'ala, khafifatane ala lisan, which are very light on the tongue, saqilatane fil mizan, very heavy in mizan. Imam Bukhari is establishing the ideology of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the belief of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, that everything will be weighed on the day of Qiyamah. Saqilatane fil mizan, very heavy in mizan. What are these two words? What are these two sentences? Number one, subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. And number two, subhanallahi al-adhim. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, subhanallahi al-adhim. The students and my daughters are aware that subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, subhanallahi al-adhim, in this hadith is mubtada. And kalimatane habibatane ila ar-Rahman, khafifatane ala al-lisan, saqilatane fil mizan is khabar. And mubtada normally comes first and khabar comes after. when constructing a sentence in the Arabic language. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam should have said, Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanallah al-Azim, kalimatani habibatani ila rahman, saqilatani fil mizan, khafibatani ala al-lisan, saqilatani fil mizan. But no, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam first used khabar, and thereafter he mentioned mubtada. Why? Why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a great teacher. There are so many things that the teachers teaching Dini education and secular education can learn from the way Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught the Sahaba. He was the greatest muallim, greatest teacher. Our problem, my friends, is that we are not attaching ourselves to the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are not studying the seerah the way we should be studying. We are not studying the ahadith the way we should be studying. He was a great muallim. You learn so many things from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If he started saying Subhanallah wa bihamdihi Subhanallah al-Azim, people would not have paid much attention, or at least some people would have remained neglectful. Sometimes a student is sleeping, talking to somebody. This happens in normal majalis. So if he said first Subhanallah wa bihamdihi Subhanallah al-Azim, and then he said there are two sentences which are beloved to Rahman Ta'ala, then those who are sleeping would have woken up. What is this that is beloved to Rahman Ta'ala? But it is already gone. Which are very easy on the tongue but very heavy in the mizan. What is this? It's already gone. They would not have been able to benefit directly from the teacher. They would have had to ask somebody else. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam begins by saying, Kalimatane habibatane ila rahman. Two sentences which are beloved to Rahman Ta'ala. So 50% are already away. The other 50% who are here and there, when they hear this, habibatane ila rahman, they will pay attention. Khafifatane ala lisan, but very easy on the tongue. Oh, very beloved to Allah, but very easy on the tongue. Saqiratane fil mizan, but it will be very, very heavy on the day of Qiyamah. Now 100% the audience is ready to listen. Thereafter the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanallah al-Azim. This was his method of teaching. Another point, kalimatane, two sentences. Habibatane ila Rahman, beloved to Rahman Ta'ala, beloved. So obviously the question will come that if something is beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then there must be a lot of mujahada in it. Okay, two sentences, beloved to Rahman ta'ala, but must be too much mujahada. Because without mujahada, how can it be beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, khafifatani ala lisan, very easy and light on the tongue. So the question will arise in the mind that if it is very light and easy on the tongue, if it is very easy, if there is no mujahada, then the reward will be less. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, no, saqilatan fil mizan, very heavy in the mizan. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanallah al-Azim. Now Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanallah al-Azim. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala ends and concludes his kitab with this tasbih, Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanallah al-Azim. What is the meaning of Subhanallah? Usabbihu Allah Ta'ala. Subhanallah. Usabbihu Allah Ta'ala. Wa bihamdihi. Wa usni alayhi bihamdihi. Usabbihu Allah wa usni alayhi bihamdihi. And Subhanallah al-Azim. Usabbihu Allah Ta'ala. على حسب شان عظمته أسبح الله تعالى وأثني عليه بحمده. What is the meaning of أسبح الله تعالى? In English, the translation of سبحان الله or سبحانك or أسبح الله is I glorify Allah. أسبح الله, I glorify Allah. But the real translation of tasbih is tanzih. Usabbihullaha ta'ala ay unazzihullaha ta'ala anin naqaisi kulliha. I declare that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pure from each and every fault. He is completely faultless. Usabbihullaha ta'ala ay unazzihuhu anin naqaisi kulliha. He is totally pure. Totally pure. Complete. There is no shortcoming. There is no fault whatsoever. Usabbihu Allah Ta'ala ay unazzihuhu anin naqaisi kulliha. This is tanzih of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. But the declaration of Tawheed cannot become complete. The declaration of Tawheed cannot become complete without declaring this fact that all the kamalat and all the virtues and all the excellencies belong only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So He is completely and totally faultless. So when it comes to fault, no fault whatsoever. And when it comes to kamalat, and when it comes to the virtues and excellencies, He has each and every virtue, each and every excellence. So, usabbihu Allah Ta'ala, in the first part of this sentence, Subhanallah, we are doing tanzih. That Allah is faultless. And with wabihamdihi, ay usni alihi bihamdihi, we are declaring the second part, that each and every virtue and each and every excellence belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only. So one can say that by saying subhanallah, we are saying la ilaha, tanzih. And by saying wa bihamdihi, we are saying illallah. Isbatul kamalat. If I say that my father is not mean, my father is not stingy, I am doing tanzih only. My father is not a liar. My father is not irreligious. My father is not ugly. If I just do tanzih of my father, and if I walk away after half an hour, people will say, what type of a son is this? My father is not mean. He is not stingy. He is the most generous person I have ever seen. Tanzih and isbat of kamalat, both put together makes tawheed complete. So Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, by bringing this hadith right at the end, subhanallah wa bihamdihi, with subhanallah la ilaha and wa bihamdihi illallah, and then subhanallah al-azim, so with subhanallah again tanzih, and with azim again isbatul kamalat. So twice you are saying la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah. Man kana akhiru kalamihi la ilaha illallah dakhala al-jannah. Imam Bukhari ends his kitab with la ilaha illallah, and he is giving this indication that one who studies this kitab and follows the teachings in this kitab, in the final moments will recite la ilaha illallah and depart from this world. And finally, Allama Qastalani rahimahullah ta'ala has quoted the hadith of Tirmidhi Sharif, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, man jalasa majlisan, one who sits in a majlis, wakathura fihi lagatuhu, and in that majlis people engage in la yani, not sinful activities, but la yani, futile activities, talking about this and that which has no benefit. Faqala qabla an yaquma min majlisihi dhalik, and before getting up from that majlis, the person says, Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallahu, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive all the shortcomings committed in that majlis. So Allama Qastalani rahmatullahi alayhi says that Imam Bukhari rahimahullahu ta'ala is coming to the end and final majlis of Bukhari Sharif. And he has brought this hadith where the students and the teacher will recite Subhanallah wa bihamdihi Subhanallah al-Azim Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, so that this hadith can become the kaffaratul majlis. And my Shaykh in Bukhari Sharif, Hadrat Maulana Islamul Haq Sahib Rahimahullah Ta'ala, used to say with full conviction that our majlis of Bukhari Sharif began after Eidul Fitr in Shawwal, and we continued studying throughout the year, and this is the final majlis. So if you put all the majalis of the year together, this is the end of the majlis. This is the end of the majlis. And at the end of the majlis, we are going to read this dua, Subhanallah wa bihamdihi Subhanallah al-Azim. And it is hope from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that this dua will become the kaffaratul majlis. The shortcomings of the teacher will be forgiven. The shortcomings of the students will be forgiven. And he would say with a lot of conviction that you are fortunate that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also brought you in this final gathering. Where the majlis, where the dua of kaffaratul majlis is recited, it is hoped that through the barakah of the teacher and through the barakah of the students who have been studying the ahadith throughout the year, and through their kaffaratul majlis, all of us who have participated today, inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive our sins also. Before concluding, I would like to urge my daughters who are graduating today that try to understand your value, try to understand yourself, who you are from today. By the ummah you will be seen as an alima, so try to study and understand the qualities of our akabir and our mashayikh and our salafi salihin, their firmness on deen, their concern for the ummah, their firmness in ilm, their attachment with ilm, their attachment with amal and taqwa, islah, tazkiyah, tawadu, being affectionate to the young, respectful to the old, holding fast to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, holding fast to the manhaj of our akabir of Deuban, hold fast to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and practice what you have learned and propagate what you have learned. Let us study the lives of Hazrat Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi rahimahullah ta'ala, Hazrat Maulana Ilyas Sahib rahimahullah ta'ala, Hazrat Maulana Abul Hassan Ali Nadvi rahimahullah ta'ala, Hazrat Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madani rahimahullah ta'ala, Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahimahullah ta'ala, Hazrat Shaykhul Hadith Maulana Zakariya Sahib rahimahullah ta'ala, then going above them Shah Waliullah Sahib Muhaddis Dehlavi rahimahullah ta'ala, above them Imam Bukhari, Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahumullah ta'ala. Study their lives and study their works, and try to inculcate within yourselves the zeal and the jazba to study as much as possible, understand as much as possible, to follow as much as possible, and to propagate as much as possible. Become a shining example for all the ladies that see you. Whether we accept ourselves as ulama or not, Mufti Muhammad Taqi Usmani Sahib, Damat Barakatuhum Hafizahullah Ta'ala, always says that it does not befit us to say that we are ulama. How can we say I am an alim? How can we say we are ulama? It does not befit us to say ulama. So you should not be proud to call yourself an alima. But whether you call yourself alima or not, that is how the world will see you from today. That is how your family will see you. That is how your locality will see you. That is how the ladies will see you. So you must behave in such a way that you become a good example for them, not a bad example. People should not be heard saying that she is an apa, she is an alima. If she does this, it must be permissible. If she does this, why should I not do this? Regarding Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah ta'ala, Imam Abu Yusuf rahimahullah ta'ala quotes that one day Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah ta'ala overheard two people speaking regarding him, and one was saying that, do you know who this is? So the other one said, who is this? He said, this is Nu'man ibn Thabit, Abu Hanifa. And he is such a great personality that he performs his Fajr Salat with the Isha Salat, with the wudu of Isha Salat. Now Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi's practice was not to perform Fajr Salat with the wudu of Isha Salat. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had put this good thought in this person's mind. So he said that this is Abu Hanifa who performs Fajr Salat with the wudu of Isha Salat. So he said, oh Abu Yusuf. He said, oh Abu Yusuf, it does not befit us. It does not befit us that people say good things about us and we do not practice. If people are saying that Abu Hanifa is performing the Fajr Salat with the wudu of Isha Salat, then from today Abu Hanifa will do that. And from that day until he passed away, for 40 years continuously, he performed Fajr Salat with the wudu of Isha Salat. Our condition, my very dear young ulama, I am not speaking to the akabir ulama, the younger ulama, my daughters who are graduating today, the students of this, our situation is that because we are ulama, we are the inheritors of the Anbiya, therefore we should be given our due rights. People should respect us. People should respect us because we are ulama, we are alimats. And we forget that people also has right over us. Ummah has also right over us. The awam needs to do what they have to do to fulfill their responsibility towards the ulama and towards the people of ilm. But the people of ilm should not beg from the people that do this for us and do this. No, they should always be concerned regarding the responsibility that lies on their shoulders regarding the ummah. So all the time remember that you are an example from today. You will be seen as an alima. You will be seen as an apa. I congratulate you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been very, very kind to you that He has chosen you for this ilm. And I congratulate your parents, and you should be grateful to your parents who have done everything to make you reach this stage. Now value this. Mufti Muhammad Taqi Usmani Sahib Hafidhahullah Ta'ala and Mufti Muhammad Rafi Usmani Sahib Hafidhahullah Ta'ala, I have heard from both of them that when Shaykhul Hadith Mawlana Zakariya Sahib Rahimahullah Ta'ala came to Darul Ulum Karachi, he was asked to impart advices to the students and the teachers. So they said that Shaykhul Hadith Rahimahullah Ta'ala came right at the front, and he said only one sentence. He said, Mere Pyaro, apni qadr pehchano. Mere Pyaro, apni, oh my beloved, recognize your value. We, those of us who are seen by the ummah as ulama, we need to recognize our value, our own. We don't recognize our value, our responsibility. What is our responsibility? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our gathering. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept this madrasa, the Madani school and this institute. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala manage this school himself and this madrasa himself. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant it all the resources, material and spiritual resources that are required by this institute and all the institutes that are serving the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Muslim community. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all of you best of rewards in both worlds for granting me this opportunity and this honor to be in this very blessed gathering. Wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.